You know that in preparing himself, Jesus, for his imminent demise, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, when you think about that and Jesus, and we realize Jesus, he didn't think of himself at that time. Jesus, he wasn't selfish. To get the word right tonight, he was selfless. And we look to the Lord and realize that on that night, he tried to help and reassure his disciples, communicating to them his own confidence. And you know, we have people in the world that are suffering so sorrowfully, as this song talks about, are you weighed down? And one of the ways that you can really help people is by not being weighed down yourself, not putting on a front or a show, but showing them the genuine strength that comes from Jesus, the victory that you have through faith in Christ Jesus. When you talk with people and you can stand firm and show them the strength of God through you, your light that shines, and people that are downtrodden and heavily laden and weighed down, they'll look up to that. You know, that's what Jesus did that night. He went to his own and he showed them his own confidence. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 32, he said, indeed, the hour is coming, yet it is come now. But then he goes on to say, he says, you will be scattered, each one to his own. And then he said, you will leave me alone. To be alone. Literally, to be separated from all others. It's a dark place to be. There's no joy there. And yet, Jesus went on to say, and yet, I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. You think about Brother Calvin's wonderful prayer. And he talked about whether two or three or more are gathered, there also I will be in the midst of you. We're never alone. And when you feel a little bit alone, you just remember Jesus, who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will always be there. You won't be in the dark alone. And even though there are troubling days ahead of Jesus, he offered them hope that in him they too could have peace. That they too would never have to worry about being alone. And Jesus did that by assuring them, not with just words, but he assured them by becoming a victorious Lord. He had victory over the world, and his faith shone out. Glorious, victorious. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations. You're going to have trials and troubles in this world. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. That's what the lessons are all about. The victory that's in Jesus that he offers his disciples. That he's offering each one of us today. Victory. We've already studied the faith in Jesus that helps us to overcome. We're overcoming through victory. We're overcoming sin. We overcome anxieties. We overcome boredom. We can overcome depression and despair. And last week we talked about overcoming discontent. And tonight will be our eighth lesson. The first one started with the concept of victory. And tonight we want to, in this eighth lesson, we want to talk about overcoming fear. And listen, remember the text of our every lesson is the same text. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that we have is what has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have victory over all of these things. And so, through the actions of Jesus, not just what he did in the past, but what he did in their present and what he promised to do in the future, Jesus helps us all. Everyone who believes in him, he helps us all to overcome the world. So one of those things that we want to overcome as we talk tonight is the idea of overcoming fear. And listen, whether real or whether imagined, fear can be disabling. Fear, which, like some forms of anxiety, it causes panic disorders, it causes people to withdraw, it can have a debilitating effect. But not all fear is harmful. And we want to make that very clear. You know, there is a good place for Christian to have a fear in their heart. And I think we already know where that is. Jesus said to fear him who's able to destroy both the body and hell. Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, he says that we are perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When we properly understand whom we should fear and how faith works, then we know what kind of fear to have. And then we need to know what kind of fear not to have. And with that thought in mind, we want to go through some examples of fear and examine the subject of fear. Just to understand it very quickly, fear is harmful. There's a harmful kind of fear, and that's the feeling of agitation, anxiety caused by the presence of immense danger. Fear can really disable you. But there's also a helpful kind of fear. An extreme reverence or awe as one toward a supreme power. That's the one that we talked about in the latter part of the earlier slide. That's the fear of God. And as the latter definitions suggest, these two kinds of fears, one is right, one is wrong. And so we want to address that. And the other, of course, is necessary to think about fear and the value of fear. That was what we heard from Jesus. To fear him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. There's value in that fear. Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, considered a very wise man, he had a lot to say about fear. When we talk about helpfulness, wisdom of godly fear, you know, the scriptures tell us that the fear of the Lord. And look at this list. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. The fear of the Lord will prolong life. The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence, and it's a foundation of life. And the fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. There's great value in fear. And the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. And the fear of the Lord is the way to riches and honor and life. You see, there's good reason to fear God. It's very wise to fear God. It's not just expressed by Solomon either. There are many people over the centuries that have said wonderful things about the issue of fear. There was a fellow that's a Scottish Baptist holiness evangelist named Oswald Chambers. And certainly I don't agree with it much at all with most of his statements. But I do agree with this, that he said the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. We're talking about a genuine fear of God that will strengthen you, uplift you, and allow you to run like David to Goliath. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything. And so we really want to focus on the idea of fearing God. Meister Eckhart is another man. He wrote, the right fear is the fear of losing God. That would be my greatest fear in life. Would be to think one day that I would just say, I don't need you anymore. To fear. The right kind of fear. Know who God is and how important He is in your life. So let's go on in this lesson. We're going to talk about fear. And we're going to talk about fears that are groundless. And I want you to understand that being afraid of certain things, that there's reasons why people fear some things. If you were shot, you might fear people with guns. If you were constantly beat up in school, you might fear those big bully-looking kind of guys. If you almost drowned, or if you did drown and you were brought back to life through resuscitation, you might fear water. If you fell off of a long, tall ladder, you might be afraid to climb back up. We're not talking about those kinds of fears. They can be overcome, certainly. But we're talking about fears that are groundless. In other words, people fear, but they don't know why. They fear, and they're not cognitive of the reason for the fear. And just a list of these fears, speaking before a group. There's people that are just absolutely terrified of speaking in front of a group. I mentioned heights, going and climb up a tree and somebody's afraid to step on two or three steps. There are people that would be afraid to walk up onto this platform, not knowing why. Insects, bugs, financial, deep water, disease, death, flying, loneliness, dogs, driving, and darkness. So there's a lot of things, and that's a very, very short list. But many social and specific fears or phobias fall into these categories. And so, we're not talking about a fear that was developed because of a reason. We're talking about fears that we might have, and we don't even know for sure why, and those are probably the easiest to eliminate with Christ. We think about a fear and how fear prevents us from enjoying the blessings that we have. You know, when I was in 1966, I was in a Boy Scout troop in California, and my first summer camp up in the mountains with this troop, and it was nighttime, and my tent was over here, and my buddies was way down the trail over there. And I'm at night, and I'm out in the woods for the first time, and I got my little flashlight, and I'm going like this, looking through all the woods, because they told us there were wild animals like bears and cougars out in the woods, and I'm shining my light, and all of a sudden, bang, there's these two big eyes looking at me right out of the woods. And I took off running, and I jumped in this tent over here with my buddies. And I said, there's a mountain lion out there. We got to protect ourselves. And we're screaming and yelling for help. And one fellow pulls an axe out. Another guy's got a knife. And I have the board. And we're in that tent. We're all facing different directions. If he comes in this way, we're going to get him. The scoutmaster finally opens the tent. And he goes, what are you guys doing? All that screaming, yelling. There's a mountain lion out there. And he says, David, what are you doing? I was terrified. You know what it ended up being was a raccoon in a tree. Sometimes, fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. And you think about that. So anyway, fear prevents us from enjoying the blessings that we have. He who fears death cannot enjoy life. He who lives in fear will never be a free man. And certainly one who fears cannot be at peace and know true joy. And so we don't want to be people that are afraid of something that isn't really needed to be afraid of. You know, obviously as a preacher and evangelist, the first thing I think of is evangelizing. I've already told you stories. I'm not going to go over those right now. But you see this big, burly, long-bearded, tattooed, nose rings and motorcycle guy. Don't be afraid to talk to him about Jesus. You'd be surprised how soft those big guys can be. But we don't want to fear, because it takes away our ability to serve. You see, fear hinders our ability to be in service to God. Fear is the sand in the machine of life, this fellow Stanley Jones said. Fear of people, fear of failure often hinders Christians from serving. In the realms of evangelism, in the realms of even working within the bounds of the church here. Fear is such a terrible thing, and it's not necessary. You pull all the... They polled teenagers. I read a poll among other things that they listed they were afraid of. This is the list. And we think about these fears. They said that failing in school is a big fear. 44% of these teenagers polled said failing in school is a big fear. Loneliness, 33%. Not having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, 30%. Rejection, 28%. Now, these are real. This is how they feel. But such fears have often led young people to do things like cheat on tests, get involved with the wrong people and the wrong crowd because they just need that friendship, that relationship. It's caused many teens today to get involved in improper sexual relationships because they need that personal friend, that boyfriend, that girlfriend relationship. And we can be great help to teens today. We can be great help to everyone who might be falling into these kinds of categories. Similar fears have prompted adults to cheat on jobs, to commit adultery, or have unscriptural marriages. Fear of rejection, the fear of persecution, has led people down the pathway away from Christ, even to denounce the faith. We have this huge, huge world out there who all say you people in the Church of Christ are wrong. And some people start to fear, am I wrong? But you know, the Word of God tells us we're right. And that's where it comes to fruition. And unless we can overcome the fear, overcome the wrong kind of fear with the right kind of fear, that devil, he'll have a lot of weapons at his arsenal to attack us. So if we're going to be victorious, if we're going to have victory in our faith and overcome these things of the world, then we have to understand, number one, how faith in Jesus helps us to overcome the world. We remember Jesus taught that fear is indicative of little faith. You remember that? Jesus said that. You know, O ye of little faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 32, the disciples, they were fearful in that storm, and they called out to the Lord, don't you care, we're going to perish. Jesus gets up, calms the storm and the winds and the sea, and he turns to his disciples, oh, you of little faith. Their fear was because they didn't have the right kind of fear, and because they had little faith. Peter, remember Peter? He gets out of the boat, he's walking. Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter, oh, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he says, come. And Peter just steps out on that boat. Into the water. Not into the water. On the water. And he's walking on the water. And the wind blows a little bit. And he starts to fear. And what happens? He starts to sink. Both of these accounts, Jesus was there to help them with their fear. He's here to help you with your fear, no matter what that fear is. You know, have no fearful anxiety. Jesus, He taught them not to have fearful anxiety concerning the necessities of life. Turn your Bibles. Let's read this in Luke. We're going to read what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 12. In verses 27 through 32. In verse 22, Jesus says, Do not worry about your life or what you'll eat or what you about the body. What you put on is not life more than food and body more than clothing. And in verse 27, Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin, yet that they say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the field, the grass of the field, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Do you not seek what you should eat? Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. And then He says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wonderful words of encouragement from Jesus to His disciples, and they pass that on to us. You know, someone, and I don't know who this was, they put it this way: fear is simply unbelief in disguise. I read that somewhere. Fear is just simply unbelief in disguise. When I say, oh, I'm afraid to talk to those people about Jesus, that's, oh, ye of little faith. I'm afraid to get up in front of the congregation and be baptized because my whole life has been contrary to that. And I would embarrass me. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm afraid to hold a Bible study. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm afraid to work personally inside the congregation and help out where need. Oh, ye of little faith. There's no need. You know, we listen to the Master, and then we know truth. Jesus addresses our worst fears. The fear of facing life alone. To be honest with you, that's probably, aside from being parted from the Lord somehow, that's my biggest fear, is being alone. My wife could tell you stories. I would be afraid to be alone. I always tell her, I hope I go first, because I don't want to be alone. And yet I know that if I were alone, for whatever reason, that the Lord would be with me. I'm not really alone. And saying those things used to be more succinct than they are today. Today it's just something I used to say because I have Jesus. I have Jesus in my life. I'm not afraid to be alone because He's always there. I can sit and read His Word and take Him in as breath. And He's always there. Jesus promised that. Jesus said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. You know, He said, go into all the nations, making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe whatever I've commanded you. When we do those things in faith, then we know that this applies to us. Because He went on to say, and lo, I will be with you always. Always, till the end of the age. The end of the age. You know what that means, right? That's when the Lord comes down from heaven with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God. He's going to raise the dead up in Christ and then raise us up on into heaven. What a wonderful thought. That's what Jesus teaches. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's no reason to fear. Some people have a fear of death. I don't think I've ever had a fear of death. In fact, I was so ignorant and stupid when I was young that I did dumb things that could have killed me or got me killed, and I never feared. I think I'd be a little wiser today. But some people fear death. But you know, we don't need to fear death. How do we not need to fear death? Because His own victory over death has made us free from death. And free not just from death, but from the fear of death. You see that? We don't need to be even afraid of death. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 12. Or chapter 2, rather. And we'll read just verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Read that with me here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. I'm in the wrong verse, ain't I? Yeah, I am. And let's try that again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. All right. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power over death, that is, the devil, and, listen, release. I love that word. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you fear anything, that fear puts you into bondage. Oh, ye of little faith. And release those who through the fear of death. We have Jesus as our Savior. He's victorious over sin and death. Jesus is victorious because He was risen Savior. And we know He's risen. And He tells us He's going to release us from that fear of death. Release us. You know what? Paul, he believed that. Paul believed that. He could face death with great confidence, even anticipation. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if we live in the flesh, we will mean the fruit of it will mean the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two." We read this morning, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul believed it. You know, when they threatened Paul with death, that didn't stop him. When they threatened Peter with death, "Don't speak in the name of this man Jesus, and all that you're turning our world upside down," and they didn't run in fear. Because they had a relationship with the truth. It's far better to depart and be with Christ. So there's no fear of death. Now some fear what comes after death. And quite honestly, there are people that should fear what's going to happen after death. I don't think that was proper English, but they should. We should. There are some in this world, probably I would say the majority, who should really be shaking in their boots about the concept of dying because of what they know is going to happen after death, or even what they don't know. But all who have obeyed the gospel have no reason to fear. Those who have obeyed the gospel are those who can embrace the thought of what comes after death. Jesus comforted His disciples with this promise of what lies ahead. Remember that? in my... you believe in God?
Jesus said, believe
also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you.
That was part of our lesson this morning. Jesus was telling them what's ahead of you. Joy. Heaven. Bliss. God.
You think about Paul's, I would call it a valedictory speech there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, let's read that. All of these texts, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4, 6 through 8. Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul's not talking about going to McDonald's. He's not talking about visiting Disneyland. He's talking about his death is at hand. He says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And I have kept the faith. You hear that? I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You know who that is, don't you? Yeah, I said this morning, I hope you're smiling in your hearts. I'd love to see it on your faces more, but He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Boy, that's exciting. Not only me, but also all who have loved His appearing. With such a promise, shouldn't we take courage? You know, with the Lord on our side, we should all be able to overcome fears. You got to remember Joshua, the encouraging words that the Lord spoke to him. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, the Lord said, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, you're never going to be in the dark spiritually, because Jesus is the light of the world, and He's left you a light as a candle in the world. He wants you also to be in the light as He is in the light. There's no darkness because there's no fear. When we've overcome fears through faith in Jesus, our fears will begin to seem pretty petty when you look back and think on them. Where there is no faith, fear cannot abide. Feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered and said, no one's there. Fear and faith cannot be housed together. One enters, the other departs. Harry Emerson Fosdick, he said in his writings, Contrast of Fear and Faith, he said, fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in God. Pretty simple. If anyone gives you reason to have faith in God, anything, anyone, and fear, fear not, because it's Jesus. Through His signs and wonders, which God worked in Him, through His own resurrection, from the dead, proclaiming Him to be the Son of God. Through the words of His mouth and His inspired apostles who overwhelmingly testify and give us reasons to believe in Jesus. In what He did, yes. In what He taught, yes. What He commanded, yes. You know, oftentimes at funerals, you'll hear the 23rd Psalm cited, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know the words, don't you? I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. Because Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Because Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. That's Psalm. Read it daily, because that song is for the psalm is for the living. These are things God does for you while you're alive. Don't wait until you're dead and in the ground and your body is cold to have somebody read it over your grave. Get up. Take your head out of the sand and realize that the end is coming. As we said this morning, there's two destinations. And it's your choice. There's no reason to fear making the right choice. There's no reason to fear making the right choice. The invitation of the Lord is very simple. You hear the message, you believe that message. Upon believing, you turn your life around, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to the body of Christ where there is no fear. I hope you could do that if you haven't done so already. And we don't need to fear to tell people, I've been wrong. I've said things that I bit my tongue and wish I had never said, but I've never repented. I've never taken care of it. Or I've hurt somebody or done something that hurts God. Remember, all sin is against God. There's just no reason to fear repentance, because it pleases God. It makes God happy. I guarantee it'll make you happy. You have a need this day? If you do, please come forward as we stand and sing.